7TL72, you can land 34 Mary 130. Know that OPG tow is at Eagle and La Brea right now en route to his location.
One of Victoria's best up-and-coming bands, Fortune Killers, is on tour with their debut album, Temper Temper. Fortune Killers with Vancouver alt-rockers High Love play Guilt & Co. Tuesday, June 12th.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, oh Dave, you're so sway. Shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 25th of May, 2018, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios, underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulkson, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, our old pal Jacques Lalonde will call in to talk about Renfrew Rhythms, the world's funkiest and friendliest open mic night. And we'll also talk about C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien with Ron Reed, the man whose play about those two is on now at Pacific Theater. And we'll fill you in on what's going on in theater this weekend, plus call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Well, it's another sunny spring day on the West Coast. Looking out the window here at the Student Nest, we can see some blue skies through the trees. Hope you're having a good day, and hope this next hour is entertaining for you. We're going to start out with some music while I get Mr. Reed on the phone. This is one of our favorite local bands. It's The New Black.
Just
got his fingers in my hair. He knows it makes it hard to swim. He's got me fighting for some air. And now he's gotta pull me in. Building trust in a hated man. Drop dead gorgeous, going nowhere fast. Just a little crush on a hated man. I'm feeling like a wreck and the ship's gonna crash. Shipwreck. Shipwreck.
On the phone right now, we have Mr. Ron Reed, who is the artistic director of Pacific Theater, and he's also the playwright and director of the show that's on currently, Tolkien. Hi, Ron.
Hello there.
Thanks a lot for spending some time to talk to us.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about this play. It's basically it's a conversation between two of the real leaders of fantasy fiction of the 20th century, J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, who I understand were actually quite close friends.
Well, they were very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth noting it's not just a conversation between two guys.
Yeah.
There's seven characters in the play, so it's a full on really story of their. The rise and, I guess I would say, complication and maybe fall of their friendship. But they were both on faculty at Oxford. They met in the late 20s. And just their personalities are very, very different. But as soon as they met, they discovered this shared passion for kind of esoteric northern mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And this, which for both of them, which I think a lot of fans of that sort of fiction or people that appreciate those stories would probably identify with. It's not just great adventures and there's swords and stuff, but this yearning for something beyond the kind of everyday life of being a professor at Oxford and faculty meetings and reading lists and grading, this yearning for not only adventure, but some sense of, I don't know, transcendence or otherness or something. And this kind of yearning and fascination really drew them together very quickly, and they became very deep friends. I think it's one of the great friendships, great literary friendships, great personal friendships, spiritual friendships, creative friendships of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they are two real giants in their field, and they have inspired so many followers and they've influenced so many other artists and kind of created two cultures similar but different. What would you say were some of the differences?
Well, between the two men in mm-hmm. terms of their sort of way of being in the world, Lewis was very much gregarious, very much he just constantly created circles of friends around himself.
Yeah.
And just had an insatiable curiosity, wanted to learn about everything. He was called by another professor at Oxford the most widely read man at Oxford. Forgive me for saying man, but that's about all there were at that time. And for an Oxford professor to say someone else is the most widely read at Oxford is really something. And it's true. He read everything and seemed to retain it all. So he had this insatiable curiosity and this kind of broad, easy approach to life, I would say. And Tolkien was, all he wanted to do in life, I think, is work on his projects. And the books, yes, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Silmarillion, all those things, but also just inventing this infinitely detailed world and then having maybe one closest friend and a few other friends around that, because they were very clubbish. The whole culture then seemed to love these clubs and groups and reading groups and things like that. And that would have been his whole world. Unfortunately, there were a million other things that demanded him. World War II, and essentially the first third of the play follows the rise of their friendship in the years leading up to World War II, as these two kind of opposite men. One really, I mean, to psychologize, introverted, all about just creating in detail and thoroughness. And the other, a light-handed, light-hearted man of kind of infinite appetite for friendship and curiosity. So the rise of these two friends and what it brought out in each other, which partly was creating, but also just the sense of Tolkien losing his isolation in the world. Mm-hmm. Then the war hits, and the center of the play is all about the many pressures that came on the two men during the war. We forget, but England was a country under siege, and all the young men were taken away, and it was incredibly demanding time, and made incredible demands on Tolkien. He became the chair of the English faculty, the last thing in the world he'd want to be doing, administrating, organizing. His sons were both at war, and Lewis and he both survived the Somme, the worst of trench warfare in World War I. And for Tolkien, all this was deeply troubling. And then there were tremendous pressures on the friendship that resulted from this and other things. And so the play then looks at the complications that they faced.
Fascinating.
And you framed it in terms of their writing.
Yeah.
And I should return to that part of your question. Tolkien created deeply and slowly. He began working on The Lord of the Rings, the world of Middle-earth, during World War I when he was invalided out of the Somme, the trench fever. And he began conceiving this world, and he made endless histories, maps, lineages of the whole world, and didn't complete Lord of the Rings until the early 50s. So he lived in this world, and he did one thing well with incredible detail. Lewis had an early idea for something Narnia-ish when he was young, and then in the late 40s he said, I'm going to develop that into a book. And he quickly wrote his seven books. Mm-hmm. He was a quick writer, an agile mind. And when he set out to do a thing, he often turned in to publishers his handwritten first draft manuscript of a book, as opposed to writing and rewriting it. So
yeah.
They were utterly different in their kind of process as well. And I think the books reflect that as well.
Now, I have heard that that Narnia is either intentionally or unintentionally a kind of an allegory about Christianity. Is there any truth in that?
Well, I truly believe it's not allegorical,
mm-hmm.
And this may be kind of a fine literary distinction, not fine enough for your literary scholars in your audience, but maybe too fine for most people. But I don't think I'm splitting hairs. Tolkien disliked allegory.
Yeah.
And he felt that the Narnia books, maybe Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, and the other ones, had a strain of allegory that he disliked.
Yeah.
I actually think that's unfair. Lewis didn't set out to say, this stands for this, this stands for that, this stands for that.
Right.
Now, I don't like allegory either. I don't like the feeling of trying to decode what they're really saying. Mm-hmm. This is really a story about that.
Yeah.
They've put all these little sort of encoded ciphers in place that I have to interpret, and then I'll know what they're really saying. I hate that.
Yeah.
I believe Lewis set out to do things. One is he set out to write a children's book like he would like to have read when he was a child. That was simply his impulse, is to what would be magical, what would be transporting for him as a child. And he never liked books that set out to instruct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they were instructional books. But in fiction, he loved stories full of ideas, but not that sort of thing. So I believe what he did, but there is definitely his faith does come out in the book, as Tolkien's does in his books. But with Lewis, he imagined, all right, if there was another world, another place, as Christians believe that basically God created the world and then at a certain point came into the world to redeem it. Mm-hmm. And became a human being. So he thought, well, in Narnia, if I make up this other world, would God just abandon that world? What would he do? If there's no evil in it, that's fine. But if there's evil in it, and it's hard to conceive of a place where there is no evil, then how would God come into that world? Right. And so for him, he created Aslan. Quite a remarkable, wild, not tame sort of creature, who nonetheless doesn't sort of fit any of the kind of preconceptions we might have about Christianity or I mean, from outside Christianity, what Christianity might be. And so Aslan is not in, not in Lewis's mind, he's not an allegory for Jesus. He is what God might have done in another world if God stepped in to oppose evil and darkness.
Yeah. Well, that I actually I find a lot more comforting and easier to accept, rather than just try to sort of, like you said, allegorically say this represents that. But no, it's, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's not a metaphor. It's an imagining.
Yeah.
It's what if.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the premise of all fiction, mm-hmm. even sort of naturalistic, realistic fiction.
Yeah.
What if I found out my wife was cheating on me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But similarly, what if there was a world where, et cetera?
Yeah.
And then
just
play it out.
Just allow the world to tell its own story in a way.
Right.
Yeah. How long have you been working on this?
Well, the first idea came in January 2012, just after New Year's. Mm-hmm. I was reading a New Yorker article by Adam Gopnik. And this comes back to your earlier point about how both of these men changed imaginative fiction in their own quite different ways. And Adam Gopnik's paper, I mean, he started, or his article in the New Yorker, he started by saying that J.R.R. Tolkien was widely regarded as the most boring lecturer at Oxford in the most boring subject known to man. You know, old English phonology and Anglo-Saxon derivations and so on. And then he goes on to say the marvel of it is that he wrote the most ambitious and original work of adventure of the 20th century.
Yeah.
So how did these two things fit together? And then his second point in it is that until Tolkien, there was no other book like it.
Yeah.
There was high adventure, but it was always distant warriors, gods and goddesses, and no connection with sort of a day-to-day sort of world. Mm-hmm. And then what he did was add in the hobbits, plain people like from the Cotswolds or wherever, the places where Tolkien lived when he was younger, and imagine the English countryside, just plain peasant folk.
Yeah.
And he brings these two worlds together, and suddenly it creates this extraordinary energy. We can imagine ourselves a hobbit. I mean, I like imagining myself to be Aragorn or Gandalf, but there's a lot of hobbit in me, you know?
Yeah.
For better or for worse, whether I'm a Sackville Baggins or whether I'm a Frodo, this sense of people being caught up out of their comfortable, homey, small little lives, caught up into something massive and world-changing. And so Gopnik's point was until Lord of the Rings, there was nothing like that.
Yeah.
And since then, all those books are like that.
Mm-hmm.
He created a template, a model, a way to approach that fiction that combines the high adventure with just plain humanity or hobbitanity, I guess, in that case. But it's extraordinary. And of course, he invented languages and histories and things, and so much imaginative fiction of that kind now demands real world building. It's not enough to say once upon a time and then tell your story. You need a time.
Yeah.
You need to invent one and a place and a world. And Tolkien did that and has, yeah, it's all different since he did what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think of Lewis with this idea of this kind of other world, and there's sort of a doorway into it. Yeah. Whether it's a wardrobe, whether it's a painting that the children kind of fall into, whether it comes about through a train crash. He was good at inventing different ways. Well, I mean, trace that through, you know, Hogwarts, you know, getting on the train at whatever that station is, something in a half station, or endless bridge to Terabithia. I'm sorry, I'm mangling some of these stories, but
that's okay.
Endless numbers.
Well, I mean,
now.
Just even Alice falling down the rabbit hole, you know, it's
right. Yeah. And again, that one does precede Lewis. Mm-hmm. Definitely it does. But that one is, now you want allegory. You know, Alice in Wonderland, those stories are pure allegory. Everything stands for something.
But
it's not unprecedented what Lewis did, I think. Mm-hmm. Probably what's unprecedented with Lewis is the scope of his writing, because it goes well beyond the Narnia books. They would be a fine claim to fame, but I think he has 40-some books that have been continuously in print since his death in 1963.
My goodness.
Theology, literary theory, his Oxford History of the English Language, the 16th century, excluding drama. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm a Lewis fan, but it's often spoken of as the pinnacle of that series. That's extraordinary scholarship.
Yeah.
But again, as a scholar, Tolkien, he took Beowulf, which was like one minor piece on the reading list in a couple of obscure classes, and he put it at the center of curriculum for the study of literature ever since that time.
Really? That he was the one that pulled that out?
That's his fault.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, it's endlessly fascinating, and to put it all together into a piece of theater is sounds like quite a challenge. But you've got a really strong artistic team to back you up. You've got a terrific cast.
Oh, really good cast.
Yeah,
they're we've had our theater going 34 years,
mm-hmm.
and over that time, different artists have kind of become real fixtures at our company.
Yeah.
And it means that over time, you know, we work together many, many times and you get to know who the people are. So as I wrote the play, I began to see Anthony Ingram as Charles Williams. And then I guess it was a third table reading a couple of years into the process. He was available to come in to do a table reading. Whenever I do a new draft, I get actors around the table, dramaturgs, and read the play, hear it, and then go to the next rewrite. And the first time Anthony came in and read Charles Williams, I just went, oh my gosh, there you go. Williams was the most elusive character for me to create. And as soon as Anthony, you know, gave it a voice, gave it a Cockney accent, because Williams was unlike the others. He didn't come from that academic Oxbridge sort of world. He was a London man. And there it was. And I knew from the beginning that Tim Dixon, long a member of our company, though he lives in Nanaimo now, that he would be the perfect Warnie. And I think if you manage to see the play, you'll just go, nobody could.
Mm-hmm.
If Hollywood made a film of it, you couldn't cast anyone better in that role than Tim. So, it's just building up this ensemble over time and matching people with roles. And it's very gratifying.
Wonderful. Well, it runs for another couple of weeks, I think. Goes till the 9th of June.
That's right.
And
week's pretty much sold out, so it really is selling very aggressively. So if people think they want to see it, they would be smart. I know I'm selling now, but it's actually true.
Yeah.
We're a city of procrastinators, but if people put this off, they might be disappointed.
Yeah. So go to pacifictheater.org to get your tickets and find out more. And
exactly.
It's called Tolkien, and it runs to the 9th of June. Ron Reed, thank you so much for spending some time to tell us about this. It sounds like a real labor of love for you, and sounds like it's come together nicely. So congratulations for that.
Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ron.
All right. Bye-bye.
A person does that to the one that they love. Seems my love wasn't good enough. Not good enough. I wandered round the city through the night. I wish that I smoked. I wished I had a light. Cause you were the one, the lantern that lit up my life.
I've gone blind. Now I'm blind. I guess that I'm numb. I think I'm in shock. Don't even remember your name. But one thing I know for sure, I'm alone again. When the driver said, sweetheart, you should go home, get some rest. Tomorrow I'll be better, I'll bet. Go on, pet. I guess that I'm numb, I think I'm in shock. Don't even remember your name. But one thing I know for sure, I'm alone again. I'm alone again. There's just never enough, and one day I'll find that someone who'll love me true. It just wasn't you. It wasn't you. I guess that I'm numb, I think I'm in shock. Don't even remember your name. But one thing I know for sure, I'm alone. Again.
That is local singer-songwriter and friend of the show, The Land of Deborah, who is very busy right now working on scoring films. She's been, I think she's got about half a dozen different film projects going on. So hopefully when they are released, we can get her on here to talk about that.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Newspapers and magazines did you regularly read to stay informed and to understand the
I've
world?
Read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like, what ones specifically?
All of them.
Want to know more than Sarah Palin? Join CITR's Current Affairs Coordinator Alex DeBoer every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. in room 2514 in the AMS Nest to learn best practices for covering local current affairs topics for radio. The weekly training sessions will cover writing for radio, determining newsworthiness, media ethics, interviewing, writing balanced stories, and more.
Member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts in Hastings Sunrise at
Beat Street Records, Bomber Brewing, Community Vintage and Thrift, Community Thrift and Vintage, Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studios, Red Cat Records, and Selectors Records.
The Revolver Festival is going on right now until the 3rd of June at the Culch. presented by Up in the Air Theater. Lots of different local theater companies putting together some stuff. The one we're focusing on is called 12 Minute Madness, which we interviewed the author about it a couple of weeks ago. This is a story of survival, of childhood sexual abuse, and the characters that emerge from that. But the festival contains a whole variety of different projects and shows. You can go to their website at Up in the Air Theater. Some of the things that that you can see are two actors performing Shakespeare's Macbeth without words, a local artist stepping into the radical headspace of a suicide bomber, a real-life scientist taking you through the history of women being screwed over for centuries. That the word isn't screwed, but it's radio. And this and more at the Up in the Air Theater's Revolver Film Festival, festival of independent theater that's going on right now at the Van East Cultural Center. And if you want to know more, as I said, you can go to revolverfestival.ca. You can check out Up in the Air Theater, or you can go get your tickets at tickets.theculch.com.
The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival returns to Calgary from June 20th to 24th, 2018. Discover over 250 bands, comedy acts, film, and art in more than 35 venues across the city. This year's festival features guest curator Deerhoof, innovative indie rock act Dirty Projectors, electronic innovators Mount Kimby, versatile folk pop duo Way Oak, futuristic hip-hop titans Shabazz Palaces, outsider pop auteur John Mouse, and many more yet to be announced. Visit sledisland.com for details, travel deals, and to get your festival pass.
It's a Zoo Productions has one of the highlights of this year's theater season, I would think, and I haven't even seen it yet, but it's getting a lot of attention and some great people behind it. It's called Wet. It's the story of a soldier returning home from combat after suffering a head injury, and what happens, her husband is forced to deal with what she's being forced to deal with as she struggles with PTSD and tries to unravel the mystery of what exactly happened to her in the combat zone. The amazing Genevieve Fleming takes the lead in this play, and it's getting some fantastic reviews. And if you get a chance to see it, it closes this weekend. It's playing at the Russian Hall, which is on Campbell Avenue in Strathcona, and it is a very limited seating. I think there's only room for like 26 people in the theater. So you want to, if tickets are still available, you want to get them ahead of time. Don't rely on being able to get in to see it when you get to the door. It's called Wet, and hopefully, it will once it's done its run here, it will come back, because it's a great piece, great bit of theater. If you're looking for something a little more lighthearted, you can go see Mamma Mia at the Stanley. This is the big musical based on the songs of ABBA, with a lot of friends of the show, including Shannon Hanbury, Irene Karas-Loper, Kathy Wilmot, Warren Kimmel, and Jay Hindle. It runs until August, so you got plenty of time to see that. Also going on this weekend, the Electric Company Theater is doing 40 Days and 40 Nights at the Shadbolt Center in Burnaby. This is a production created and performed by Kim Collier and Daniel Brooks. It's a story follows two lovers whose love exists across time and transforms across time, how they philosophize and ritualize love as a vital aspect of living. Electric Company's 40 Days and 40 Nights closes on Sunday. Okay, let's take another music break. This is a fellow I met at a birthday party a couple of years ago, and really impressed by his music. His name is Zion Fire.
Sinister church and state you create. Policemen stop you when you please. Search and seize. Not you with his angry sneeze. License please. Go kill son, fashion kill daughter. It's a slaughter. Politician of the talking, my dog's barking. No free parking. Can
political party. If no party, who wins? You lose. Pay your taxes, no one relaxes, tax man gets his fill. Opposition is crushed, children brainwashed. They control your world, cause there it's rules, rules, rules. Prison schools, the bullies run your life. You don't conform, fit to the norm, they cut you like a knife. Cause this is the world you created. Can't you see it? This is the world you created. What you gonna do? This is the world you created. Can't you see it? This is the world.
Our friends at Fighting Chance Productions, who are really known for doing their big musicals at places like the Jericho Arts Center and the Waterfront Theater, this time around they're working on something different, something a little more intimate. It's a familiar story. It's The Diary of Anne Frank, which was a Pulitzer Prize winning play and an Oscar winning movie. And it's been done in a whole bunch of different venues. But this time they're doing it at the Havana Theater, a much smaller, more intimate venue, and they're doing it in the round. So really give the audience a sense of kind of the feeling of isolation and being enclosed that the Frank family and their friends felt while they were hiding away during Nazi-occupied Amsterdam in World War II. It opens this weekend. It goes until the 23rd of June. If you want to find out more about that, you can contact fightingchanceproductions.ca. Well, earlier this morning, I had a chance to get on the phone with a friend of the show, Jacques Lalonde. Jacques is a local actor, director, producer, writer, singer, bon vivant, man about town. He's a podcast host and Vancouver's preeminent Donald Trump impersonator. He's king of the fringe. He's done everything, every fringe festival since 1989. Most recently, he got in big with Trump the Musical, and then the follow-up show last year. He didn't tell me what he's going to be doing this year at the Fringe, but he did tell me a bunch of other stuff. So here's Jacques.
Well, I've been doing lots of stuff lately. You may have heard or you may not have heard, hard to say, that I'm launching a new web series called Fake News, where Donald Trump is going to be the main guy telling the news, because he's figured, you know what, since he's lying anyways, he may as well admit that it's fake and just advertise that it's fake. So that's going to be fun. I just finished doing a play called Incident at Vichy, that was a really big success for Theatre in the Raw.
Yep.
And tomorrow night, Saturday night, I am going to be performing at the Frog Hollow Neighborhood House on Renfrew in between 5th and 6th Avenue. A buddy of mine, David Simons, has started like an open mic night there once a month, the last Saturday of every month. And I get to be the feature performer. So I'm going to be doing a half hour tonight of poetry, song, and madness.
Wonderful. So is this a brand new thing? Is this their opening night, or has this been going on for a while?
Yeah, they've been doing it for about 3 or 4 months now. Mm-hmm. My buddy High Rise Dex was their inaugural performer. And they've had Earl Peach since then and another person. And I think I'm the fourth one in a series. It's a beautiful little event. What they've done is they've taken the community center. There's like a little room that seats about maybe 50 or 60 people. And they've turned it into a salon. Like, they actually bring in sofas and stuff and, you know, set it up so it looks like you're in someone's living room, but a very gigantic living room, of course. And honestly, like, I've been to a lot of these kind of open mic sort of deals. This is the most friendly place I've ever performed at. Like, it's really sweet. People were making the odd mistake, and people were totally oblivious to it, or even liking the fact that people were making mistakes. It was just really great.
Yeah, it adds to the intimacy of it, too, because you're kind of sharing in the failure.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, if you've ever seen a Jacques Lalonde show, you know that I encourage a lot of audience audience participation, so that, you know, the audience will be intrinsically involved in my show.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff that I haven't done in years, and I'm going to be doing some new stuff. And I've got some guests coming up. Ronnie Way is going to be singing with me, as well as the host of the evening, David Simons. I've got Kempton Dexter is going to be singing a couple of songs with me, including Just Dropped In by the incredible Kenny Rogers. And Brian Seifer is going to be playing some drums with me. It's going to be just a lot of fun. And the other performers who show up at this thing are all very highly acclaimed performers and some really interesting people doing stuff. Last time, there was a couple of guys that tour the Canadian mental health scene. So they struggled with mental health issues, but they're just fantastic performers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then there was another woman who wrote an original song about Canada. It was just beautiful. So you get to see a lot of stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily see in a place like this, you know?
And it's an open mic, so if you have something you want to share with the audience, you're welcome to come up as well, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah, the sign-up is at 7. I think the doors open at 6:45 or something, or 6:30, and then the show starts at 7:30. So it's an early night.
Yeah.
If you get there at 7, you put yourself on the list. You can do a couple of poems, do a couple of songs. You know, whatever you like. Stand-up comedy, doesn't matter, right? Like,
yeah.
You feel like sharing.
And when does the fake news thing start?
When does the...
Fake news.
Fake news, it's... We've got the website, therealdonaldtrump.ca, is pretty much up and running. I'm guessing the fake news will be up in the next 2 weeks. I was trying to get it going before Trump went to North Korea, because that's our big news. The big news is the real reason why Trump is going to North Korea. A lot of people are not aware of it, but I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with Ivanka being in North Korea or South Korea for the Olympics.
Okay.
And Kim Jong-un's sister was there, right?
Okay. All right. We shouldn't give away any more.
No.
That's a nice little tease, though.
Nefarious deeds may have taken place.
Okay. So
right.
We'll...
Like in the words of AC/DC, dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Right.
All right, Jacques. So we'll see you at Frog Hollow Neighborhood House, 2131 Renfrew Street, tomorrow night at the, it's called Renfrew Rhythms.
That's what it's called. Yeah. It's a fantastic night. Even if you can't make it this Saturday, go usually the last Saturday of every month. It's fantastic.
All right.
And if you've got something you want to share, come on down and share it and or just enjoy the evening and see what it's all about before you come and strut your stuff another day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jacques.
Thank you, Radio Dave. We love you.
Love you, too. Take care.
Bye.
Love, Jacques. Okay, so once again, it's called Renfrew Rhythms. It's at the Frog Hollow Neighborhood House, 2131 Renfrew Street. Doors open, I think it's 6 or 6:30. You can sign up if you want to join the open mic. And the show itself gets underway at 10. And the show gets underway at 7. And I didn't ask him how much it costs, and I don't think it's listed here, but... it shouldn't be much, probably maybe $5 or $10, something like that. Anyway, one of the artists that he mentioned was a High Rise Dex, who I just happen to have right here. Yes.
I got a friend named Carlos, and he lived just down the hall. When he plays a conga, the night begins to fall. Where he plays a hippie rhythm, and he plays a sexy beat. But when he plays a rumba, you just got to move your feet. Everybody, let's rumba. Oh, up and down the hall. Everybody, let's rumba. Oh, come on, one and all. Everybody, let's rumba. Yeah, up and down the hall. Everybody, rumba. Yes, I got a friend named Billy, and he lives just down the street. When he plays a guitar, man, that guitar sure is sweet. Well, he plays some hippie rhythm, and he plays a sexy beat. But when he plays a rumba, you just got to move your feet. Everybody, let's rumba. Up and down the hall, everybody, let's rumba. Come on, one and all, everybody, let's rumba. Yeah, up and down the hall, everybody, let's rumba. Oh, come on, one and all.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. Starting off with Axis Theatre Company, general audition for the upcoming season. Axis Theatre Productions tour into schools and theaters, enriching curriculum, drawing audiences into stories, and giving them access to ideas in new ways. The original physical theatre productions tour provincially, nationally, and internationally. The general auditions are happening in June 25th and 26th. You can email your application to info@axistheatre.com, and axistheatre.com is where you get more information on it as well. We got some Fringe Festival auditions coming up, one for Calgary. Their Fringe happens in August. This is a play called The Ultimate Hipster by Ira Cooper. The audition's happening today. They're called Spec Theater, S-P-E-C Theater, and they're looking specifically to cast through the role of Barry, who is the first artificially intelligent, fully humanoid barista. So real, you would never know that he was an AI hipster. So that's happening today. Check out spectheater@gmail.com to find out where to get in on that one. There's also an audition today for a Vancouver Fringe production. Wonder Dog Theater's play Dear Elizabeth by Sarah Rule, directed by friend of the show Shelby Bushell. That's happening here on campus at UBC. WonderDogTheater@gmail.com is the email address, and they're specifically looking for a couple of actors in their 30s or 40s to play the roles of Elizabeth and Robert. Another fringe audition that's happening on Monday. This is for Trudomania. This is a play that'll be at the Fire Hall during the Vancouver Fringe, and they're specifically looking for a young woman in her 20s for the role of Margaret Trudeau. It's a musical theater production with live music, singing, and dance. So the specific person to play Margaret needs to be alto or mezzo, with an ability to read music and a strong voice, and must have a strong voice and be a skilled singer. So send your resumes and headshots to dkmcleod@tellus.net. Pacific Opera Victoria is still looking for an assistant stage manager for their production of Fidelio, which is in September. Someone who is good with stage management systems, has a little bit of opera experience or musical theater, knows how to build positive relationships with artists, can read music. Send your cover letter and resume to E. Hassell, E-H-A-S-S-E-L-L at pov.bc.ca. Deadline for that is May 30th. And Green Thumb Theater is holding their general auditions at the end of the month. Deadline for that was May 14th, but they still might want to take in a couple of applications. So you can go to greenthumb.bc.ca to find out more about that. Let's see here. Classic Chic is doing a production of Much Ado About Nothing by William Shakespeare. It's directed by Rebecca Patterson, who is the founder of Queen's Company in New York City, one of the companies that was the inspiration for Classic Chic. If you don't know Classic Chic, they are the all-female identifying company that produces classic theater, mostly Shakespeare, but they've also done work by David Mamet, and specifically Glengarry Glen Ross. And they also did Corleone, which was a Shakespearean reimagining of the story of The Godfather. Anyway, their next production is in February of next year at the Kulch Historic Theater, Much Ado About Nothing. Their auditions are happening on Sunday, and you can contact Michelle at classicchic.ca. That's C-L-A-S-S-I-C-C-H-I-C. Enigma Theater is doing a play by Sarah Treem called The How and the Why. That's happening in November. The auditions are on Saturday at the BC Binning Studio at UBC. North Van Community Players doing Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest in September. Their auditions are on May 26th and 30th in West Vancouver. Alchemy Theater is doing the Rocky Horror Show in November. That's happening at the Waterfront Theater on Granville Island. Their auditions are in June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Alchemy Theater is alchemytheater.ca is their website. Go to their audition page for more information on that. Theater in the Country doing Rumors by Neil Simon. That's happening in September. The auditions are June 3rd and 4th. Vagabond Players in New Westminster doing The Haunting of Hill House by F. Andrew Leslie. That's happening in October. The auditions for that are on June 10th and 12th at the Burnie Leg Theater in New Westminster. Carousel Theater for Young People is doing their Christmas show, a Charlie Brown Holiday Double Bill. It's a combination of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, the Broadway stage musical, and the Charlie Brown Christmas, the beloved TV special. The contract for that runs October 29th to January 6th. They're looking for adult actors who are strong actors, singers, and dancers. They're specifically filling the roles of Linus, Snoopy, and Schroeder. They've already cast Charlie Brown, Lucy, Sally, and Violet. Deadline for submissions is May 31st. Didn't check the date on when the actual auditions are happening, but you can go to carouseltheater.ca to find out more about that. Align Entertainment doing Annie at the Michael J. Fox Theater in February of next year, and also doing A Christmas Story, the musical, which will be at the Michael Fox Theater in November of this year. The auditions for that are happening in June, June 10th for the kids, June 16th, 18th, and 19th for adults, and info at alignentertainment.ca to get the details. Pi Theater doing Her by Taylor Mack. They are still looking for an actor to play the role of Isaac, a 24-year-old cisgender son of Paige and Arnold, and brother to Max. Max is the lead character. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to Pi Theater, P-I-T-H-E-A-T-R-E.com. And finally, auditions for the Yellow Points Christmas Spectacular, Vancouver Island's big annual Christmas show, kind of a panto, kind of a pageant. And that's happening, of course, at Christmas time, December 10th to 23rd. The voice auditions are on the 22nd, and the dance auditions are on the 23rd of June at the Scotiabank Dance Center on Davie and Granville. And if you want details on these or any other audition notices, you can go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or go to the Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you can share it to us at the Dave Radio Facebook page or email DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. And that's our show. Thanks for spending the lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send us your details, DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. You can like us on Facebook or check us out on Twitter and Instagram. We're at CITR Dave Radio. If you missed any or all of today's show, you want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And stick around because Audrey is up next, followed by Beppe Crispin at 2 o'clock. And Nardwar the Human Serviette presents at 3:30. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Sometimes.